Good morning. This morning we are having a dedication ceremony for baby Bowen. So we've asked his family to come and light, kindle the flame of our faith. Parents Forrest and Sean, big brother Sebastian, and big sister Nola. Aaron has prepared a special at-home chalice lighting kit for them to use over the next month until they pass it along to the next family who lights our chalice next month. And now they know where they're going. I invite Bowen's family to come forward to the center along with godparents Forrest and Sean chose for Bowen, Forrest's childhood friend Maddie, and her partner Corey. Come on up there. A baby dedication is the way that we Unitarian Universalists welcome new life into our faith community. As Unitarian Universalists, we believe that each person comes into the world as a gift full of potential. Instead of washing away sin, as is done in traditional baptism, we bless this child's inherent worth. We call this ritual a dedication because we dedicate ourselves to the care of this child. This child whose parents have chosen to raise them in this spiritual home. It is our job, all of us, young and old, to help this little one grow into his best self. When I asked Forrest and Sean what they wished for Bowen as he grows, this is what they said.
We want Bowen to grow up knowing and feeling that he is safe, secure, and valued. We want him to know that he matters, that we respect him as an individual, and that no matter what happens in his life, no matter how he stumbles or strays, we will always be there for him with our love that knows no conditions. We want Bowen to be heard. We want him to form his own beliefs and ideas and to feel secure enough to question anything and everything. We do not want nor expect him to be perfect. Instead, we want the depth of our love to fill him with enough love for himself, enough self-confidence that he can fall down and get back up again, and that he can see the mistakes of his life as opportunities for growth. We want him to be loved and to love.
Forrest and Sean, will you now pledge to provide for this newest member of your family that unconditional love, support, and respect of which you spoke? Will you continue to offer it freely to all three of your children as they grow? And lastly, as you know, parenting is not easy. So please, will you also be gentle with yourselves and with each other? If so, you pledge, please respond by saying, "We will."
We will.
Excellent. Maddie and Corey, you have been chosen as Bowen's godparents. In our tradition, that means that you are his spiritual mentors. Recall how Bowen's parents said, "We want Bowen to form his own beliefs and ideas and to feel secure enough to question anything and everything." Part of your role is to listen to those questions, to share your own experiences with him, and to help him find his own answers. Maddie and Corey, will you offer Bowen this spiritual guidance with love, acceptance, respect, and support? Yeah, excellent, thank you. And now the sibling pledge. Childhood friends. Sebastian and Nola. Nola, I've got a question for you and your brother. Bowen is going to look up to you as big sister, and Bowen is going to look up to you as big brother. So I have this question for you. Will you do your best to treat him with kindness and care?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. She's working on it. And now we ask a pledge from this gathered community. Would everyone please stand as you are able and join with me in reading the responsive reading on the screen. It's also printed on the back of your order of service. This includes the kids. Thank you. That's right. If you're too little to read, stand and pour all your love toward this family as we speak to them. We perform this ceremony of dedication publicly to declare that all of us, whether we are members of this child's circle of family and friends, whether we are members of his larger church family, all of us are responsible for the care and development of this child before us. Bowen Winter Sterling, we pledge to do our best to help you grow into your best self. May you develop a deeply compassionate heart. He smiled. May you learn the value of keeping an open mind, respecting and honoring the differences that enrich our human community. May you develop the courage to work towards peace and justice in this world we share. May you discover the wonder of everyday miracles, and may you thus be moved to care for all that is sacred within this interdependent web of life. And as you grow old and wise, may you continue to pass on these gifts to those that follow. And now you can remain standing. This won't take long. Actually, you can sit. Go ahead and sit for now. Sebastian, will you hold this bowl of water for me, please? Two hands, maybe? Yeah, there we go. Thank you. And now we bless this child with a rose dipped in our UU holy water collected over the years in our children's water communion ritual. Bowen Winter Sterling, hi. I bless you with the love of this community. May you always know that you are a gift to this world. And may you always feel held in the larger whole. As I walk baby Bowen down the aisle to introduce him to his extended UU family, let us all give voice to this blessing in song. Melanie will sing the first verse, and then we'll join in on the second verse.
Wonder of wonders, life is beginning, fragile as blossom, strong as the earth, shaped in a bosom, love has been meaning, parents and people sing at their birth. Now with rejoicing, make celebration, joyful of promise, laughter and tears, naming and blessing, in dedication, humble in purpose,
Thank you, Nola, for coming with me. And thank you, kids, for being a part of this ritual also. It's really important to have you here. When you guys are teenagers, you can ask, you can say, I was at your dedication when you were a baby. How you doing now, kid? So for now, we can you can go to your programs, and the grown-ups will sing you on your way as we form the arches.
Well, it's that time again where we offer a warm welcome to newcomers and visitors, guests, and even those of us that have been away for a while and decided to come on back. So, Bruce, oh, there's the microphone, yep. So Bruce will be bringing the microphone around. If you would just raise your hand to indicate that you would like to introduce yourselves, he will come to you. And just know that the time to introduce yourself is when it feels right, so no pressure.
Good morning. My name is Helen McFadden, and it's my joy to be back here in Victoria and to claim that I am now a resident of Victoria since the end of November, so I hope to see a lot more of you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you back. We got a few in the front here.
Hello, I'm Riley Bicey. I'm here for the dedication, and must say I'm absolutely struck by the beauty here.
Wow. Welcome. Glad you could join us.
I know. My name is Sasha, and I'm Forrest's sister and Bowen's aunt, and it's lovely to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Good morning. My name is Muriel. I'm here with my husband, Ben, and a couple of other friends, Ann and Peter and Callie. And we're friends of Evan and Lynn's here for a day to listen to the sermon that Evan purchased.
Welcome.
He is an old Unitarian of I don't say old, but from far long ago, she was here in this building. She lives in California, so she came here, and she may even know some of the old timers.
Welcome. Love seeing the new faces. And while I got you on the microphone, who's doing the visitor table today? I wasn't able to find out. Oh, excellent. Perfect. So Carla will be at the visitor table if you're looking for any more information about our congregation or Unitarian Universalism as a whole. And we also have coffee in the Lion Hall directly behind you after the service. So whether you're a visitor or a veteran of this congregation, we hope you'll join us for that. All right, and the Share the Plate recipient for the month of January is the Greater Victoria Acting Together Coalition, or GVAT for short. GVAT is an alliance of unions, environmental, education, frontline service organizations, and congregations, including our own. This GVAT alliance harnesses the incredible power of civic organizations working together toward a common good. The member organizations are made up of proactive, everyday people, like ourselves, dedicated to working together to tackle some of the toughest issues facing the Greater Victoria region. So after the offering basket has been passed in your row, anyone who feels moved to do so is encouraged to come to the chalice table and light a candle of remembrance and hope. To honor these acts, let us be in a spirit of mindfulness.
We will begin with a singing meditation, then we will share in a moment of quiet for reflection, meditation, or prayer. Breathe in, breathe out.
In the year 2013, I experienced a moment of clarity that caused me to question everything I thought I knew. Before this moment, I had no interest in spirituality or anything of the sort. And if you had told me that I'd be standing at a pulpit in a church, I would have laughed hysterically. But then this thing happened. It washed over me, transformed everything. And in its wake, it revealed the dimension of life, the existence of which I had previously overlooked. I dove into this dimension, and an unexpected side effect was a deep sense of loneliness. In fact, I've never felt more alone than in the years that followed this experience. Eventually, it became unbearable, and this little voice started to chime in my head. It said, "Find the others." That's what brought me here to First Unitarian. I sought the kind of companionship my friends and family couldn't provide, a connection based on something deeper than biology and familiarity. I craved to learn new methods to deepen and broaden my spiritual practice, to have deep discussions about the nature of reality, God, meaning, and the big questions that haunted me. I wanted to discover new paths. I wanted to be in good company. And I was. But I did not find exactly what I was looking for. Not right away. Which begs the question, why did I keep showing up if I didn't find the very thing I was looking for? Well, there's actually two reasons. First, I felt drawn to Melora and to Shauna. The first time I heard them speak on this pulpit, I knew that they were dishing out the kind of soul food that really fills me up. And I felt compelled to learn from them, and I still do. Second, and maybe more importantly, I wanted my family to be part of a community, a real community, not just a neighborhood where nobody knows anyone else. And I wanted my kids to receive the kind of education you don't get in public schools, whether you call that a spiritual education or whatever you will. And it became very apparent immediately that this was the right place for all of these things. So despite not finding exactly what I was looking for, there were so many blessings with this community that, well, I decided to stick around. But then this opportunity came to be a worship associate. And I thought, maybe this is an opportunity to present what I'm looking for to you. Instead of waiting for the others to magically appear and say, "Hey, here I am," I thought, maybe this will be a chance for me to call out to them. And sure enough, as soon as I started doing that, you all started coming out of the woodwork, didn't you? It'd be nice if our name tags had like a little tag that said like mystic or like humanist, or maybe it would be easier to sort through these things. But despite this lack of clear indicators, as soon as I started to put it out there, as soon as I started to ask, I received. And I think that that's what makes this church and this congregation so awesome. We have a little bit of everything for everyone. And so if you haven't found what you're looking for, I would suggest that you start asking and that it will find you.
If you have been around Unitarian Universalism for the past several decades, you have no doubt heard more than once the news. Mainstream progressive religions in Canada and in the States are losing members. Unitarian Universalism is not declining quite as drastically as the others. In many congregations, we are holding steady, but we're not growing either. This sermon topic was chosen by the winner of the sermon topic of your choice at our last action auction. I thought he wanted to remain anonymous, but his friends outed him. So Evan was concerned about what these trends mean for the possibility of the future of Unitarian Universalism. And his concern was magnified by the fact that we have fewer Gen Xers and fewer millennials in our ranks than we do older ages. This is part of the larger trend. People, especially younger people, are turning away from religion. Here is a graph of people who identify as completely unaffiliated with any religion. The top line is Canada, the lower line's the States. As you can see, in Canada, from 1971 to 2012, the percent of unaffiliated people rose from 4% to 24%. Statistics also show that the younger people are, the more likely they are to identify as unaffiliated. Furthermore, when you look at where the unaffiliated Canadians live, you see that the highest percentage of disaffiliation is right here in British Columbia. That's the top light gray line. Oh, you can't even see it. See where it says 44% at the top and where it says 13%? That's the British Columbia line. That's the most disaffiliated people. So 44% of British Columbians not affiliated with any religion. Interestingly, while Canadians who identify as Catholic or Protestant have decreased, there has been a small increase in the percentage of Canadians who identify as other religion, which includes Islam, Buddhism, Sikhism, Hinduism, and Judaism. This seems to be largely due to an influx of immigrants who bring those religions with them. For a while, Unitarian Universalists were excited about the growth of this unaffiliated contingent and the other religions, because that's our bailiwick, spiritual pluralism, a spiritual home for agnostics, atheists, and Buddhists alike. But it's not as easy as that. We're not drawing those unaffiliated people as much as we thought. Why not? We're not sure. Different people have different theories. Some say we are too much like the Christian churches that people have been leaving with our use of words like sermon, church, hymns, and the way we do Sunday mornings in this basically Protestant format most Sundays. Some think a more secular format would draw more folks in. Others like the spiritual feel of how we do things. They like the singing and the candles and the quiet for meditation or prayer, and they think that many of the unaffiliated people also appreciate such things. Some would even like more spirited spirituality, the way the evangelicals do it, with electric guitars and drums and pop songs. Others think that would turn people off. Regardless of worship format, some suspect that one of the main reasons people don't come and return is that people are just too busy. Family life these days can be especially overwhelming. Sunday morning is the one day a week you can relax with your family in your pajamas. That is, if you don't have to drive your kid to soccer practice. Some say the unaffiliated just don't see the need for religious community. They get their needs met through friends and family, donating to social justice organizations, walking in the woods, yoga, TED Talks. I think that's probably true. But some of those people, like Oliver, find that there are limits to do-it-yourself solo spirituality. They begin to yearn for a community of fellow seekers, and that leads some of them to us. People come to UU congregations when they want to raise their kids in a community that joins together to care for one another and the larger world. People come to UU congregations when they feel powerless to affect change and want to join others in doing good. People come to UU congregations when life starts to feel meaningless or just overwhelmingly hard, and they crave a community of others to help figure out how to handle it all. We actually do get seekers. People come and check us out all the time. The challenge is how to become a place where they want to stay. And here's where I get stuck. Survey the church growth literature, and you will find no simple solution, no silver bullet that works in every context. There is no magic program or worship style or small group structure that will draw in and retain seekers in every context. There is no blueprint, but there are methods, approaches. Not all congregations are dying. I was struck by three key factors in congregations where there is vibrancy, energy, and growth. The first is an experimental mindset. Congregations that grow are willing to take risks, try new things, and are willing to fail. One method is called beta testing. You try a small-scale experiment with low investment in time, effort, and funding. If it fails, no big deal. If it succeeds, you build on it. This congregation is good at that. The meditative choral prelude that we have on choir Sundays came from a beta test. We tried three or four different kinds of pre-service centering practices, and that was the one that took off. The new participatory way that we do share the plate was an experiment at first. Now any of you can suggest and present to the rest of us an organization about which you are passionate that aligns with our UU principles. Many of our small groups were begun by several of you getting together and trying out a new idea: meditation, depression anxiety support, the spirituality group, AHA, which is agnostics, atheists, and humanists. Well, that was in the wrong order. Agnostics, humanists, and atheists. That spells AHA. You are open to other experiments as well, joining GVAT, Greater Victoria Acting Together, the new group of spiritual caregivers at our place, the Worship Associates program featuring personal reflections from congregants. We've experimented with all sorts of worship service formats, jazz vespers, intergenerational storytelling, many variants on solstice celebrations, interactive services in which you engage with your neighbor, ritual-based services, services of music, chanting, and meditation. Not everything works, but we've got that experimental spirit. In fact, I've noticed that this congregation does not fear change as much as some congregations do. I've wondered if that's in part due to the elders among us. Many of you seem to have a calm that is grounded in the long view of things. You've seen things. You've been through stuff. You're not going to be thrown by a little bump in the road. I remember I was so worried our second year of ministry here when we told you that we were going to have a baby. Only 2 years and already we were going to take maternity leave. I thought you'd be anxious about covering our absence and even a little resentful. Instead, you were relaxed and supportive. Go, have your baby, we'll be fine. You are so not afraid, so willing to try new things, that you even have the Ruth Humphreys Innovation Fund to support innovative ideas. That's the fund that helped the impromptu Truth and Reconciliation team bring us the interactive and thought-provoking play last year, Dr. Broken Leg's fall lecture on intergenerational trauma, and the worship service and art projects that we got to do with Inuvialuk artist Maureen Grubin. Whether it is worship, projects, or programs, some things take off, some don't, and that's okay. Our congregation's president, Marian Pape, read these words at our January board meeting. They're written by Neil Gaiman. I hope in this year to come, you make mistakes. Because if you are making mistakes, then you are making new things, trying new things, learning, living, pushing yourself, changing yourself, changing your world. You're doing things that you have never done before. And more importantly, you are doing something. A second key characteristic of thriving congregations is that they maintain a sense of core mission and values. Why do we gather in UU congregations? Think about how you would answer that question. Why do we gather in UU congregations? Here's my rather long-winded answer. Stick with me. Life can be hard. Consider the people you know, people you love, who are struggling. Right now, when I think about my own circle of friends and family, I am holding in my heart a dear friend who is going through a really difficult divorce. She's been out of work for nearly a year and is struggling to single parent her strong-willed 9-year-old. I have another friend who is plagued with loneliness and an overwhelming sense of regret about missed opportunities. He's so sad and kind of lost. I hold in my heart numerous friends who are worried sick about their kids' mental health struggles, anxiety, depression, anorexia, self-harm. Sometimes medication helps, sometimes it doesn't. And always there are worries about the side effects. I hold in my heart an older couple. As health becomes precarious, they wonder how to play the end game. They wonder who will die first and how the one will make a life without the other. They wonder how much to talk about these things. How to lean away from worry and lean into savoring what they have here and now. We all have our own personal struggles. Sometimes easier to bear, sometimes unbearable. And then we carry global concerns as well. We are people whose hearts break when we read the news. My eyes welled up just yesterday as I read on the CBC News website about the 117 migrants, including 2 children, who drowned off the coast of Libya. And again, when I read about those hateful teenagers who taunted the man who was a part of the Indigenous People's March in D.C., the teenagers were repeating build that wall, build that wall, which is not only hateful, but doesn't even make sense. The indigenous people were there first. Oh, how it hurts. What news item has broken your heart lately? Personal struggles, global concerns. So what is UU community for? We come here to nurture our spirits, to find strength and grounding. We come to UU community to be with others who are doing the same, so that we can support one another in our personal struggles and work together on the global challenges. Check out our mission statement on the front of your order of service. Let's read it out loud together. Strengthened in spiritual growth, supported in community, energized by diversity, we strive to transform ourselves and our world through compassionate action. There are many possible forms this work can take. We can experiment with all sorts of programs, projects, and gatherings while still staying true to this core mission. After all, Unitarians and Universalists have been through changes before. They both started out as Christian religions with Christ-centered worship. Then, in the secular humanist phase of the mid-1900s, many services favored the lecture and discussion format. Now we've become a community of spiritual pluralism. Through all of those changes, we stayed true to our core, caring for one another and the larger world in community as a religion without a creed, supporting each other's individual search for truth and meaning. On to the third factor. The book Growing Young, which is about church growth with a focus on younger generations, says that experimenting with worship and programs is all well and good, but way more important than a particular worship style or program is warmth. These churches that were growing young successfully were described by participants as welcoming, accepting, belonging, authentic, hospitable, caring, and like family. Warmth goes deeper than nice. It's when you extend yourself enough that the other person feels that you genuinely care about who they are and how they are. Unitarian Universalist Tandy Rogers describes experiencing this as a university student when she and a group of friends first visited a little UU congregation near their campus. She says, quote, "They invited us into their homes for family meals and homemade dinners. They asked us how we were doing. They asked what our majors were. They knew more about my studies than my own family did," end quote. When one of the students had a gallery opening, the whole congregation showed up. Finals week, the congregation gave them care packages with Jiffy Pop and inspirational UU quotations. She says that later, when she moved to a new town, the very first thing she did, even before looking for an apartment or a job, was to look for a Unitarian Universalist congregation. She says, quote, "I needed a place to practice being human. I needed to be at a place where I knew there was a pinky swear that we would walk this life together. I needed to be in a place where we were creating something larger than ourselves." Warmth. Warmth. Radical hospitality. Think about what you do to offer warmth and radical hospitality to fellow congregants. What new things you might try. Maybe you make a point of asking what is going on in people's lives. Maybe you send them a note or text when they're having surgery, or give them a call when a loved one dies. Maybe it helps you to have an official role if you're more introverted. You can ask the care and concern person in your neighborhood group who in your group might appreciate a call or a visit. Or welcome newcomers to your neighborhood group by inviting them over for tea and getting to know them. One thing that can cultivate a culture of warmth is the spiritual practice of holding one another in our hearts. This works for the most introverted among us. Let's try it. Experimental mindset. Silently, in your mind, pick a person, choose a person in this congregation. It could be someone you know, or someone you don't know at all, someone who just happens to be sitting near you. Settle on your person. Picture them in your mind's eye. I will say four phrases of a loving kindness meditation. After each phrase, you can silently repeat it, directing it toward your person. Breathe in, breathe out. May you be well. Picture them healthy and strong. May you be safe and free from harm. May you be at peace. Picture them free from worry or anxiety. May you live with ease. I invite you to stay in that meditative place and give yourself a chance to receive as I now say the meditation for each of you. May you be well, healthy, and strong. May you be safe, free from harm. May you be at peace, free from worry and anxiety. May you live with ease. So may it be. That is why I come to church, to care for you as we all care for the world. So, three key characteristics of thriving congregations: experimental mindset, maintain a sense of core mission, cultivate a culture of warmth. One more essential point. Community can be hard, whether it's extended family, the workplace, or a congregation. There is a spiritual growth to be found in the practice of sticking with it through the hard stuff. Sam's recent metaphor of pushing a wheelbarrow of frogs comes to mind. Especially when we innovate and try new things, things can get bumpy. Take, for example, how we've been working through the changes and challenges as we strive to become a more family-friendly congregation. I have kids. I love kids. I want kids to feel welcome here. I want parents to feel welcomed and supported. I also don't hear very well, and I get easily distracted when there's a lot of background noise. So when kids are being kids, adorable, squeaky little babies, and toddlers having a rough day, in our sanctuary, that is horrible for amplifying background noise. In a worship service that so often hinges on hearing words. Oh, it's so tricky. How do we work out solutions that take everyone's needs into account? We need to talk with one another, understand one another's experiences, listen to one another's concerns and yearnings. And here I put in a shameless plug for the dialogue on family ministry next Saturday afternoon. We need to hear from all aspects of congregational life, from the coffee people to the gardeners and grounds to social justice. If you are on a team or a committee, make sure your group is represented. Help us problem solve and innovate and find ways to build vibrant intergenerational community that works for everyone. So that's what I've got. Three key characteristics of congregations that thrive despite the trends of religious disaffiliation. Experimental mindset, maintain a sense of core mission, cultivate a culture of warmth. And I kind of think that's the most important one. And stick with it through the hard stuff. I'm sorry I can't offer a blueprint. I would much rather have a solid plan with assurances that it will work and a model of exactly what it would look like. I like the security of structure. I don't like uncertainty. But I suspect that this is a spiritual challenge that is wrapped up in this month's theme of possibility. To be open to possibility, we have to unclench our fists and let go. There's a card that sits on my desk at home. A parishioner gave it to me about 15 years ago. It features a quotation by Japanese poet Masahide. Barns burnt down. Now I can see the moon. We may like the security of structure and certainty, but what might we find if we let it go and make room for possibility? Hello again, Sebastian. Bye, Sebastian. So instead of looking at those statistics and wringing our hands in panic, saying, what are we going to do? Perhaps we can ask ourselves instead, how are we going to be? How are we going to be? Please rise as you are able and join in song. Melanie will lead the verses, call and response. She'll begin by singing the chorus once, and then we will repeat the chorus with her.
You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Don't give up hope.
You're not alone.
Don't you give up.
Keep moving on. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
Lift up your eyes. Don't you despair. Look up ahead.
The path is there. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love.
I know you're scared. And I'm scared too. But here I am,
right next to you. And you gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. You gotta put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. Put one foot in front of the other and lead with love. And lead with love.
Thank you, Melanie, for song leading today. This is Melanie Black, by the way. This is my favorite closing words. Wayne Artisan. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. Blessed be.
Please rise as you are willing and able. Join hands as we sing our closing song, Carry the Flame.